Has anyone ever been lost driving? Okay, no dudes. Have anybody ever been sidetracked driving? I know guys don't admit they're lost, right? And about that time, your wife offers you some fantastic advice and chirping in your ear, and the kids always seem to like to fight at that moment in the journey. Anybody else's kids fight in the car? You drive an SUV, bus, whatever you drive. Yeah, man, I don't. Like, hey, we're on our way to Disneyland, and you get in the van, and they're like, you know, and that's that. I didn't grow up allowed to do that. Maybe some of you are from my generation. My dad would reach behind, and it was kind of like this blind chicken, kind of like going to flog you once he found, like, buck, 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 you know, and then it just, and it didn't hurt. It just scared you to death, right? And he had a 66 Ford station wagon. His arm could extend to the rumble seat. My dad was 5'9". It's unbelievable. He didn't put up with that stuff. We deal with this kind of stuff. We get lost. We try to use a Garmin. You know, I'm constantly recalculating. So then you not only have your wife chirping in your ear, you have the Garmin lady chirping in your ear. So you can throw her out the window. The Garmin, I mean, not the other, okay? I just want to clarify, man. Some people are really wound tight. So, you know, you've got all this going on. Maybe your iPhone. My iPhone clicks off every 3 seconds. I miss exits all the time. What I'm trying to say this morning is I need a personal driver if you're interested. But we've all been at that spot where we've been lost. Back in the day, and I still do this, I'll stop and ask a local why in God's name, I don't know, because they never know street names. You pull up and you say, hey, man, can you get me directions? And they're like, well, you go down the road, turn left that old carryout, go to the apple tree and turn right. As you go left by the school, wave at Bill so he don't shoot at your car. And he thinks you're a friend, and you know, and you're like, wait a minute, can we rewind? Did you just say a dude's going to shoot at me if I don't wave at him at the appropriate time? But it's a local. They know how to get around. And I've found in my life, when I've needed direction, and I've approached even church leaders, whatever the case may be, that I normally encounter like a local giving direction. And they're telling me stuff from their journey. And it's like, you know, it's destination bound. They tell you the mile markers in their lives, you know, that you can't relate to. The problem with direction in life is it's not based on definite destination. I know that's really tough to fathom. We're going to blow that. We're going to set charges under that paradigm, and we're going to blow that away today with Scripture. God is not so much worried about the destination. He knows the destination. He is the destination. And I think, honestly, the reason that the church sometimes is hard to find direction in your life is because you go to a church, or I go to a church, and the focus is on heaven. And the older the church, the more the focus is on heaven, because they're closer to being there. You know, so you're coming in as this young person or this person in life trying to find meaning, and you know, you hear songs about heaven, and you hear all these thoughts about heaven. And I think that's okay. I think talking about heaven is awesome. But when it comes to direction in your life, it's not helpful. Can I give you my opinion? Every now and then I do that. Let me give you my opinion on that. I think for 5 or 6 generations of Jesus followers, focusing on heaven since the turn of the century, I'm talking about 19th century, you know, into the 20th, I think the focus on heaven alone and like this destination mentality has made Christians very lazy. It's made Christians very, very ineffective. Because if all you have to do is get fire insurance and then wait to cash in the policy, why do you care? I mean, you're not going to reach out to your neighbor. You're not going to spend time really getting to know God, checking out his word. You're not going to, I mean, it makes sense if you're destination bound, like, all right, I need Jesus. I've got Jesus. I've got the fire insurance. I just live until I cash this policy in. Then I find other people like me, and I huddle inside a church wall or inside a theater. It doesn't matter where you meet. We hide, and we don't go out, which is what Jesus said to do. I don't think that's ever what God intended with the teaching of heaven. There's only 2 verses that really say you go to heaven that I can find in Scripture. Now, there's tons of references, the kingdom of God, but when God talked about heaven, it wasn't going to heaven. It was heaven coming down. Heaven is a place. But God wanted to advance his kingdom. He wanted to make a difference in people's lives, and that means not waiting, but going. See, heaven is, I think, in my opinion, when you study scripture, heaven is supposed to be this destination that reflects God's ability. It should cause you and I to be in awe of him. Who are you? How much power do you really have? What do I do with you once I find out who you are, God of heaven? I mean, I think it definitely brings us hope of eternity too. We lose someone that knows Jesus. We know that one day we're going to get to see them again if we're a Christ follower. And when we get frustrated and we think, is there more than this? And I think heaven is that thing that makes us ask, is there more than this? But when it comes to direction, that is not ever what God intended was to be the focus on heaven as far as heaven going there, being with Jesus alone. If that were the case, when you accept Christ, he would take you there immediately. He would go ahead and just get you out of here. So today, we're going to blow up this paradigm out of the gate. I want you to write this down, and then we're going to spend the rest of the time looking at scripture to see if this is really what God's about. You ready for this? Write this down with me. Put it on your iPad, your iPhone, your tablet, your Nobby, which is just a bulletproof iPad that we buy our kids. You know, put that in there today. You ready for this? Direction in my life is based on Christ's mission in my life. Direction in my life is based on Christ's mission in my life. We're going to look at this from Jesus' earthly ministry, and we're just going to see how this works. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, you have these verses. 12:2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the humility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, and I'm going to read this to you, but it's not on the screen. After all, you have not yet given your lives in struggle against sin. I mean, it wasn't destination with God. Normally, I don't go like from scripture to scripture to scripture to scripture, like different areas, and kind of like connect the dots. But the past week or two, it just kind of worked out that way. I want you to see that Jesus' whole mission when he came to earth was he knew, and that we got to know this out of the gate, it wasn't just so he could get back to heaven. His mission when he came to earth, the reason he stepped into history, stepped into our continuum, where we could recorded history, was so that he would one day die, that he would die and rise again and provide this ability for you and I to be connected to God and not just know him in this moment and then wait to see him again one day in heaven, but to get to know him and to make a difference for him. He came knowing that he would die and that he would rise again, but his followers thought that he had a different agenda. It's amazing when you can tell people stuff straight up, and I know you can relate to this because we all have this happen. You can tell someone exactly what they to answer the question that they asked of you, and they never hear anything that you say. They don't hear anything. They find one little thing and they kind of blow that up because they have an agenda in their mind. Jesus' early followers had their own agenda. They had their own preconceived idea of what Jesus was supposed to do, and it was this: free them from the Roman rule and make them the rulers and throw rocks at people that didn't agree with them. That was the way that they thought that he should react. But check this out. Look at Matthew 18:11. Look at this with me. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus, has come to save, and another version says to seek and to save. So he's looking for people to save that which was lost. Check this out. Next verse. I think it's Matthew. Whatever it is, Wiggum. It's Luke. I'm sorry, Luke 5. Luke 5, check this out. Later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at a tax collector's booth. This would have been the equivalent of a mass murderer in their eyes, a tax collector. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. This guy was like, yeah, I need some Jesus in my life. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. So he does this party. He's like, man, I've discovered Christ. He doesn't just go huddle himself in some synagogue waiting to see Jesus in heaven, he gets a bunch of his friends that are just like him, sinners and the outcasts, and nobody wants to connect with them. And he brings them to his house, has this big party, and the other guests and also ate with them. Let's go to the next verse. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with such scum?" Jesus answered them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come not to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent." This is a verse that you've probably seen at a funeral, John 14. Check this out. It's a heaven-type verse. It really is. It's just, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me," Jesus says. "There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If we're not so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so you'll always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going." We don't know. No, we don't, Lord. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." I mean, here they are. This is really near the end of Jesus' life. And then it's not the key piece that he's trying to show them is, guys, listen, it's not about the place, it's about me. It's not about the destination that we'll find ourselves for eternity. It's about you and I knowing each other, you and I making a difference with each other now. Look at John 2. Check this out. This is amazing. They didn't get it ever until he rose again. Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you'll raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body, his resurrection. "Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." We constantly mess things up as Christ followers, and we constantly get sideways about things. But when it comes to direction in your life, every bit of direction and meaning goes back to Jesus' sacrifice and that empowering factor. It made his teaching and his promise is good. It proved what he said was true when he died and rose again. And notice that Jesus wasn't any, it wasn't, his motivation wasn't anything for himself. It was for you and I, so we could be connected to God. And it's the first step in your life to find purpose and meaning, to find direction. For there to be a moment where you say, "Jesus, I'm going through life and I'm looking for direction," or whatever it caused you to stop and take inventory. May have been the birth of that beautiful baby. It may have been the loss of someone that you love. It may be the life change or moving from one area to another, or maybe getting out of college and going in the workforce, or getting out of high school and going into college. I mean, there's just this thing that disrupted your life that said, "God, I need direction," or "I need something more." And you encounter the message, maybe for the first time like today, of Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again for you. Finding direction begins on discovering Christ's mission. And Christ's mission begins with you knowing God personally. That there was this moment in time where you stopped and you purposefully, you made a choice to become a follower of Jesus Christ. That you said, "God, I know that I need you. I believe you died and rose again for me." And then you begin and you would ask him into your life. And at that moment, Christ changes your life. And after you become a follower of Christ, it's not just waiting to go to heaven. In fact, one of my kids, this is hilarious, my oldest, she wouldn't get saved after she realized Jesus died for her and rose again. My wife and I were freaking out because she asked all the questions that kids ask when they're really close to becoming a Christ follower. She had all the answers. She understood all the pieces. But we told her, you know, when you ask Jesus in your heart, you get to die and go to heaven. We tell kids that all the time, man. I mean, churches do it all over the place. Well, she took it as the moment that she gets saved, she has to die and go to heaven. And she didn't want to be away from mommy and daddy. She was 5 or 6, you know. That freaked her out. And she understood something that we don't many times, is that the mission and what God's about is not just saving you, giving you the fire insurance, and then moving on. Now, eventually she did become a Christ follower. She eventually asked Jesus into her life, but it freaked her out at first. So followers of Christ, if you've accepted Christ, Jesus left us here to have impact. Jesus left us here to make a difference. Yes, we are supposed to gather like we are this morning. Yes, we are supposed to read the Bible. Yes, we are supposed to pray. Yes, we are supposed to huddle as Christians and grow together, do life groups and do all this stuff together. But it's so that we can be nourished and strengthened as we go back into our workplaces, we go back into our cubicles, we go back to our classrooms and our businesses, in our offices or wherever we do life and have impact for Jesus Christ. If you are a Jesus follower and you want to be a chef, or you want to be a musician, if you're a CEO or an entrepreneur, if you're a mechanic or doctor or teacher, the words that Jesus gave his followers in this vintage writing of Matthew kind of sums up what God is really about. He told his disciples this right before he was ascended to heaven. He ascended to heaven. I want you to look at these with me, Matthew 28. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age or end of the world." Jesus thought on marriage. Where do I begin, God? You begin with his mission. God, who should I marry? God says, begin with my mission. God, should I make this transition in my life? I'm looking for direction in my marriage, in my career, in my parenting. God, where do I begin? And God would say, direction in your life is based on my mission in life. So that moment that you discover personally that you need Jesus, I'm a sinner, I need Jesus, I invite him into my life. From that moment, God said, I want you to be on mission. I want you to be looking around and saying, who needs what I have? Who has God not invaded their life yet or had the opportunity? And we look around and we find that. You say, Jamie, man, listen, I'm a stay-at-home mom. It's still based on that. You say, Jay, I want to be an insurance salesman. It's still based on that. It's still based on God's plan for your life, centers around, is framed up by the mission of Jesus Christ that you just read in Matthew 28. It's the same for my life. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for people that work in the kids ministry. It's for everyone. God never intended anyone to sit and wait on heaven, never venture outside the walls of a congregation and huddle in church services doing nothing but learning about him. Never. That was never his intention. His intention is that you and I discover him. And even after we continue to discover him, after that moment of belief and acceptance, we still continue to look at the Bible and feed ourselves and check God out and learn things in the service. All that's awesome. But it's in the context of mission. So you may be here today, and as a manager of a bank, as a stay-at-home mom, as a farmer, as an insurance rep, we ask ourselves, how do I help other people? How do I help other people discover and know and grow and serve God? How do I help them go reach other people for Christ? I've believed on Jesus. I'm discovering this. How do I help my friends find and my coworkers find Christ? Because direction in life is based on Christ's mission in life. You say, who am I going to marry? I'm single, I'm going to marry. This is where you begin. You say, man, should we continue to be married? This is where you begin. You say, should we have kids or should we adopt? This is where God wants you to begin. We base it on so many things God never intended. And we wonder why we can't find traction in life. And it's not that they're usually bad. Most people aren't coming and saying, God, you know, And you can come addicted and say, God, I want to find your will, but they're not trying to find their will through his will through addiction. They're not trying to find his will through bad things. And if they are, it's still okay. God will help you find Christ and help you get the help you need and all of that. Where do I begin to get help in life? You begin here. Should I change careers? You begin here. We begin with family. We begin with retirement. We begin with popular career choices or trending career choices. We begin with colleges and SATs and EQ tests and IQ tests. We begin with our skill sets, our education level. We maybe begin with a dating website, whatever the case may be. None of those things are inherently wrong in and of themselves. But when it comes to finding direction and mission in life, God always comes back to Christ's mission. It's the framework of our lives, no matter what we do for a living. No matter where we're coming from, no matter what our needs are, this is where God begins. I want to be the greatest salesperson that ever lived. This is where God begins. God's framework is for you to have impact on someone else's life. For you to get to know him personally and walk with him. See, the only thing you'll never be able to do in the place called heaven is reach someone that doesn't know Jesus. The only thing you can't do in heaven is reach someone else for Jesus Christ. And so as you look at your life, as you look at your struggles, as you, no matter where you begin or what intersection or interchange you come on, to begin to get traction in your life, begin to discover direction in your life, God begins at this spot right here. I want you to look at this verse with me. One last verse, Matthew 6:33. Would you read this with me? I know the coffee's finally kicking in. Would you read this verse with me? You ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's the deal. It's the place to start. It's okay if you're broken. It's okay if you don't have it all together. It's okay if you're questioning and wondering and doubting and fearing. You begin with the mission of Christ. For him to know you personally and then to take that relationship and spread God's love and impact through the world. Let's pray together. With our heads bowed, I wonder if you're here today and you're like so many of us were on your journey. You've come to a crossroads. And today was just your day. The lights came on. You realized that Jesus loved you, that he died and rose again for you. And it finally came to your heart and mind that you need something, and that person is Jesus Christ. And I wonder if right where you're seated, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just right where you're seated, you say, Jay, I want to invite Christ to my life. How do I do that? How about if I lead you in a prayer? And you call out to Christ from your heart. It's not the words that save you. It's the faith that you put in Jesus when you ask him to. So as you sit there, if you're ready to accept Christ, say this to him. Say, Dear Jesus, I believe you died and rose again for me. And I invite you into my heart and my life to be my Savior, to be my God. In your name, Jesus. Amen. With our heads bowed, if you're a Jesus follower, so if you just accepted Christ, you can get on this prayer too. If you're a Jesus follower, as the team comes up, I know that everything tries to cloud God's mission in your life. People hurting your feelings, things you don't agree with, people you're at odds with, stuff that's happened to you in your past that feeds rejection and fear, I get that. And sometimes everything gets fuzzy when you're a God follower. But I want you to know, when things get fuzzy, the Polaroid's unclear, come back to the mission. Because direction in your life always begins with Christ's mission in your life. And as the team prepares, I want to pray over you. And then they'll lead us and direct us. And we'll dismiss in just a few moments. Let's pray together. Father, bless my friends. So many of us, Father, need direction in our life. We need direction with parenting. We need direction in our relationship. We need direction in our career choice or our college choice. And God, I pray that you would begin to speak to hearts that clear direction from the Holy Spirit. We have people that are in careers and they've laid dormant and they don't know how to tie their career to their faith. And God, right now, I pray that you would begin to do that and let them just see it's tied to the mission. And would you bring someone this week for them to serve in their life, for them to share the gospel with, for them to bring that person to LifePoint, maybe invite them out with their bulletin and just say, man, come and check this place out with me. Come and seek God with me, or however they word things, God, come with me. Father, bless them in that journey. Father, wherever people are trying to gain traction in their lives, let them come to the mission. And would you help them, Holy Spirit, to see how the mission applies to their lives. In your name, Jesus. Amen.